Debbie and I recently made a trip to Uganda with a team of folks, with our bishop, and it was just an amazing trip to be on because we just got to see God move in so many ways. And so we were on the Mission Prayer Network prayer line telling them about what happened there because they're part of our intercessory prayer team. And they were praying for us while we were gone, and we knew that much of what God accomplished, He accomplished because of the Mission Prayer Network and their intercessions. So anyway, we got on the prayer line and started telling them about what was going on and what their prayers accomplished. We started that last week, and I'm going to finish this up, let you finish up hearing about what the Lord did and what we told about on the Mission Prayer Network today. There in that town that morning, a pastor had a two-year-old child, little girl, that was very listless. She could barely open her eyes, could barely move. We don't know what was wrong, but she'd been like that for a few days. Wouldn't eat. He brought her specifically so that we could all pray for her. And we did. And we didn't see much change right then, but we knew that God had touched her. And so we just put her in God's hands and went on to the next service. Well, he brought his daughter to this next service where Henry was, you know, where Henry straightened up. That little girl was a different girl. I mean, she was laughing and running around, and she'd been eating. God had touched her and healed her. Let me give you another example of some of the kinds of things that happened. So we're in a service, and it's actually a Sunday morning Eucharist service. And I'm sitting down kind of in the congregation, and a young Ugandan woman comes up and sits down beside me. And as soon as she sat down beside me, I saw her feet. And the Lord just kind of pointed out her feet to me and said, there's something important there. And I didn't know what it was, but I just couldn't get away from her feet. I knew I had to pray for her feet. So when the service was over with, we went outside and I asked her, I said, is there something going on with your feet by any chance? Yeah, my feet are hurting. They're hurting real bad. Okay, can I pray for your feet? Oh, yes, please. I prayed for her feet. The Lord healed her feet. But the Lord also gave her a prophetic word and told her that those feet were going to go around the world preaching the gospel. Now listen, this is a young woman, a poor young woman in a poor village in the poorest part of Western Uganda that probably has never been out of her area before in her life. And so I'm sure she's wondering even now, you know, Lord, can this really be true? I know it's going to come to pass. Who knows what's going to happen with that lady? But that was just some of the kinds of things that God did. We went to another place there in Western Uganda where there are a lot of clergy from Congo. They've been run out of Congo by the rebels. The Ugandan and Congo clergy got together. We prayed over them specifically. There were about 100 clergy there and their wives. And Bishop Chuck says, okay, so who has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Who would like to have their prayer language and be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you, a third of those folks raised their hands. I was really surprised. But they came up front. We started praying with them, and I'm telling you, they started receiving the Holy Spirit one after another and speaking in tongues and vibrating and jumping up and down. It was exciting. I'm telling you, because we went, because of your prayers, we left that place with lots of people that are now filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God, experienced in praying for the sick, wanting to pray for the sick. That place, I'm telling you, there's revival going on in that place. I'm looking forward to hearing some of the testimonies and seeing what happened there. What else can I tell you about? Debbie prayed for one lady there in Busunga, this refugee camp. And she said, I could literally feel the fever going down as I was praying for her. The lady came up, had a fever. Debbie said, boy, you touched her. She was just as hot as she could be. She says, as we continued to pray for her, she just cooled off and cooled off. You could feel
the fever going away.
There were a couple of testimonies we heard. You know, they're getting texts and phone calls and stuff. The local clergy is. And so sometimes it would be a dinner that night or the next day we would hear about testimonies. Let me give you a couple of quick similar testimonies. A man came up and asked us to pray for his wife because she was in the hospital. She was very sick. They didn't know how long she was going to stay. They didn't know what was wrong. Didn't know if she was ever going to get well, that kind of thing. Well, he needed us to pray. So several folks gathered around him, prayed for his wife in proxy. By that evening, she had been released from the hospital completely well, and she was home. There was another lady that came for prayer. Her husband had gone out of town. He was going around to relatives and friends trying to beg and borrow enough money so that she could go in the hospital. She needed some surgery, needed to go in the hospital. And so we prayed over her. And again, the next day we get the testimony, she doesn't need the surgery because God has completely healed her. Oh, hey, we got to meet the king of the Pygmies there in western Uganda, the king of the Batwa people. And he's a Christian man, and we got a chance to pray over him and stuff. Lord healed him. While we were there, that was a little town called Kivali. While we were there, there was a man that came up for prayer. He claimed he had had a headache since 1980. So let's see, 90, 110, what is that, 45 years? Had a headache for 45 years. He was dancing because God had, for the first time in 45 years, he was free of that headache. God had healed him and set him free. Well, let me tell you again, it's kind of a funny story. So a guy comes up to me. Actually, he's in line for prayer, and he's one of the ones that wants to pray for as many people as possible with me. And he prays for lots of people, and lots of people are getting healed. And then he says, okay, now I really do want you to pray for me. And I said, okay, so what's going on? He said, it's my marriage. I've been married for 5 years. My wife is pregnant. My wife has been accused of having an affair, and I've been told that baby is not my baby. It's somebody else's. And this has really thrown our whole family into chaos. And I don't know what to do. I've got the police looking into it, and I've got this going on. I mean, he'd pulled out all the stops in trying to find out what was going on and fix this. He wanted his marriage reconciled. And so we prayed, and the Lord spoke to him, gave him a word of comfort, that the Lord was going to take care of this, and the Lord's going to work through these things, and that he didn't have to worry about it. Don't worry about your wife. You just love your wife. And he said, okay. And that was about 2 in the afternoon, under, by the way, a very hot Uganda sun. So about 6 that evening, we get back to it's not really a hotel. It's kind of rooms where you stay. It's more like what it was. Anyway, we got back to our rooms about 6 that evening, and he's there waiting for us because he said, God's already answered your prayer. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, my wife's sister had a failed marriage, and she was upset because our marriage was doing so well, and so she put her boyfriend up to sending me an email accusing my wife of having an affair and saying it wasn't our child. Her sister's trying to break up our marriage. He said, right after you prayed, the sister all of a sudden felt like she needed to confess to my wife that this is what they had done. And so everything is solved and okay. And then that night we went over to the local bishop's house for dinner. And this guy was there with his wife, and they had another child, 2 children, actually. And so Debbie and I got to spend about 15 or 20 minutes with them. We did a little marriage counseling, and we prayed over them, and they were hugging each other and hugging us afterwards. It was just a real, real sweet time. This guy was so excited. It was like, I can't believe it. God's already answered the prayer. I just had to come tell you. It's so Well, let me see. There's some other stories. I tell you one interesting thing that happened to us when we were in Hoima. About 2 or 3 in the morning, the electricity went out. And you know the electricity goes out because the fan goes off and it gets really hot underneath the mosquito nets. And so we woke up. Debbie opened the window, and when she opened the window, she heard a man screaming. I mean, he was just, it was a blood-curdling cry. At first she thought maybe somebody was in pain, and then she realized, no, that's really not pain. It's not fear. I don't know what it is. It's just this horrific hollering and yelling, screaming. And then somebody began to play drums, and then somebody else came in on the drums, and they started singing, but it wasn't Christian. You can tell this was a witchcraft ceremony of some kind, and the Holy Spirit spoke to Debbie and said, they are coming against you. They know you're in town. I mean, we made a big entrance in this town, okay? They had a band playing, and marching band playing as we drove into town, and drove to our meetings and stuff, so everybody knew we were there, and everybody knew we were there to pray for the sick and see them recover and to teach about revival and bring revival into the area. And so it's not hard to understand that the enemy might have come against us. And so anyway, Debbie was certain that that's what was happening here, and she began to pray against that. I went back to sleep. And she continued to pray and intercede and do spiritual warfare, and after about 30 minutes, all that stopped. The air conditioning came back on. We went back to bed, went to sleep. But the next morning, it was interesting to kind of see what was going on. Debbie and I got stuck in the elevator for a while. We were trying to get out to the bus to leave. One of the people woke up. They said they had been sick overnight. Another one said that they felt demonic oppression in the middle of the night. They weren't sure what time. This was the person that was in the only air-conditioned room, and so I guess it was cool enough they didn't open the window. Anyway, they said that there was a time during the night when they felt an oppression. It was almost like somebody laying on top of them in bed. That went on for a little while. They, of course, took authority over the enemy and told that evil spirit to leave, and it did. But that was just part of kind of the indication that we knew for sure that next morning that there was a lot of demonic attack and we really needed to work with spiritual warfare. Now we did. We broke that and broke that off of us, and we didn't have any more instances. Nobody got sick. Nobody had any nightmares or anything like that. But it was just interesting that the Lord would wake us up at just the right time to know when to pray against this and to know what was coming against us. There was, in one of the meetings out in the refugee camp, I had a pastor, one of the local clergy, that was helping me by translating. Not everybody out there speaks English, not even Swahili, and so sometimes just communicating is a chore, a task in itself. And so anyway, we had clergy, local clergy, helping us. And this particular fellow worked with me for 2 hours. We were out in the hot sun, standing up, praying for people, person after person after person. Had a lot of people praying with us, of course, and, you know, enlisting people to pray with us, as I was saying. And this guy stayed till the end, and finally they kept saying, come on, you got to come back. We want to finish up. We got to leave. And this guy said, now it's my turn. You need to pray for me. Well, what's going on? Well, I've got back pain. I've got a lot of back pain. I've had it for a while, and it seems to be getting worse, not better. And I'm worried that it's cancer. So we began to pray and began to intercede on his behalf and see what the Lord would say. And pretty soon the Lord said, it's not cancer. He was ecstatic. It was like, oh, okay, now I can believe for God to heal me. He just had to get that fear out of his mind. I took authority over that spirit of fear and spirit of cancer and drove it away from him. And he seemed to be fine. One of the things that happened, it was kind of like a sandwich. At the very first of the trip, something happened, and then the other piece of bread happened at the last part of the trip. Let me see if I can tell you that story. We were in Kampala, you know, in the vacant lot ministering, and there was a car that drove by a couple of times, and then pretty soon they pulled in to the vacant lot, and they sat in their car for a few minutes, and then four people got out and came over and asked us, each different people, to pray for them. The lady that I got a chance to pray for, I asked her, how can we pray for you? What would you like Jesus to do for you today? Do you need any healing or having any oppression? No, I just want more power of God. Now, by the way, by this time, I had already enlisted someone that was there to help me pray. You know, just a local person had prayed with them, anointed their hands, and was trying to teach them how to pray for folks. And so anyway, this lady, her name was Jennifer. She was there with me to pray for this young woman that said she wanted more power and more ministry. So I said, oh, you need more power. Well, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, no. Do you speak in tongues? No, I don't. Would you like to? Well, I guess so. Well, you know, if you want power from God, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be speaking in tongues every day. Okay, that's what I want. Yes. And so Jennifer and I started praying for her. And I mean, it wasn't 2 minutes. And she was speaking in tongues and vibrating. And I mean, God really touched her. Huge smile on her face. And as it turns out, at the same time, Bishop was praying for one of the other people in the car who turns out to be a pastor of a local community church. They had just started about a year ago there in Kampala, in that area of Kampala. And they were kind of struggling a little bit to get going and seeking God and wanting more power. And he prayed for this pastor. Pastor receives the Holy Spirit. Somebody else prays for the other two folks. At the end of it, they got together with the local bishop there, Bishop Eusto, and said, look, we see what y'all are doing. We have met you now. We see that you're really genuine. You're not trying to just use this as a way to raise money or to con people. We see you're real people in the Spirit, really trying to do something. We want to be a part of this. We have no covering. We've started this church and we're all on our own and there's nobody to help or to guide and we need some help. Maybe we need to be part of the CEC. And so they asked us if we would please, please come to a service on our way out of town. Because we told them, we said, look, we already got things scheduled. We got to leave here in a few minutes. It's toward the end of the day and we're going to be going out to Western Uganda and we won't be coming back until Wednesday. Please, on Wednesday, when you come back, stop by. Okay, we'll stop by. To be real honest with you, I thought this was, yeah, right. They're not going to contact anybody. They're not going to follow up. There's not going to be a service. We don't need to worry about this. But praise God that they've been touched, and who knows what the Lord will do with them. Well, it turns out, while we were in Western Uganda, Bishop Eusto stayed back in Kampala, and they met with him on two different occasions, had dinner at his house, prayed together, talked a lot about the CEC. They were so excited we got to come into the CEC, and they set up a service for Wednesday afternoon. Now, let's take a step back, and let me tell you how our travel from Uganda went. Just to let you know, people talk about, oh, you went to Uganda. Oh, Uganda. Oh, that sounds so exotic. International travel and ministry, that just sounds so wonderful. And it is wonderful in a way, but it's also trying. For instance, Tuesday night, we ministered late Tuesday evening. We went over to the bishop's house late and had dinner, get back to the room. We know we have to leave in the morning, so we pack. Get up about 6 in the morning, have to leave at 7. We have breakfast there at the rooms. Leave at 7 and drive 8 hours to this service in Kampala. spend 2 hours there at that service, then drive 2 more hours to the airport area, have all of us have dinner together one last time, and we go get on our airplanes. And once you get on the airplane, you know, it's about 24 hours of travel between airplanes and airports before you get back to your home airport. So it was a grueling day, to say the least. But that interruption to have that service, to me, wasn't an interruption at all. I was just anticipating that in the Holy Spirit. I could just feel the Holy Spirit's anointing and the Holy Spirit saying, we're really going to do something at this place. And I didn't know, you know, if there might be some very visible miracles, crippled people, blind people that were healed or something. There was a deaf person that was healed there, and there were some other healings. But I tell you why the Lord had anointed me for that meeting was because he wanted to use me to give prophetic words to each one of the people in leadership there. The words varied, you know, depending on what they were doing. Some of them, I didn't know what they were doing. I just knew that I had this word from the Lord, and then they could confirm, yes, that word is exactly for me because I'm what I'm doing here and what the Lord has for us. For instance, for the primary leader, they had gotten up in the service and said, we've only been doing this a year, and we want to have a permanent place to meet. We're just renting this place, and we finally could afford some chairs, and we want to grow, and we want to get a place where we can grow from. And so to them, what was important was equipment and chairs and meeting location and things like that. But the Lord told this person, said, look, all of those things are okay. The Lord's going to take care of all those things in his time. But right now, this is what the Lord wants you to concentrate on. He wants you to concentrate on putting together teams of intercessory prayer warriors from your church. And you set up schedules for prayer, and you set up agenda of things to pray for. Let the Lord lead and guide y'all, and you get your people together to pray. That's what you need to do first. And then the second thing you need to do is you need to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to teach them how to operate in miracles and how to bring revival into other people's lives. If you'll do those two things, God will take care of the rest. He'll give you a place to meet. He'll give you growth and all of these other things. And they received that really well. Oh, good. I needed that guidance. One of the other people turned out, it was a worship leader. And the Lord began to speak to him and talk to him about worship and getting into worship and how the Lord was going to bring him into a place of worship. And what was really cool was kind of toward the end, the Lord said, so what you're going to do is I'm going to teach you how to come into my presence in worship. And then when you come here to lead worship, you're not going to lead worship. You're just going to do what I've been teaching you. You're just going to get in my presence in worship. And what's going to happen is that's going to draw everybody else up into my presence and into worship. And as I was saying that, he was looking up to the Lord, had his eyes closed, he was laughing, he had his hands raised up, and he was kind of pumping his fists, and he was going, oh, yes, 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 that's what I want. So, I mean, God, you know, spoke to him right exactly where he was. And anyway, there were a couple of other words for those folks that the Lord had. It was just wonderful. In the middle of all that travel, all the heat, we didn't even get lunch that day, okay? We stopped at the gas station and got some cookies and chips and stuff off the shelf there at the gas station. That was our lunch. It was worth it. It was worth it to be able to touch that congregation and know that when we come back, that's going to be a powerful congregation. They may have their own place by the time we get back. I don't know. They may not. But I know they're going to be powerful. They're going to be growing. And they're going to be changing that area. There was a lot of oppression in that area. I mean, it was almost like you could feel demonic oppression as we came into that area, as we went into the service. You could just feel the enemy fighting us. And so we prayed over them, bound up the enemy, talked to them about how to do that, of course. But I know if they'll put together those intercessory prayer teams to do spiritual warfare and to pray and intercede for revival for that group in that area, I'm telling you, that place is going to be just different when we go back. I'm looking forward to it. That area is called McKendy. when we first got to Kampala, somebody had mentioned this is the Makindi area, and the bishop, as prompted by the Holy Spirit, said, I wonder what that means. I think that name is important. You know, he was thinking that it might have some spiritual meaning on its own. And so Bishop Eusto started looking around, checking around, trying to find out what was this name, where did it come from, and nobody seemed to know. And he finally found an older person, a historian of the area, and they said, oh yeah, I know what this is, one of the original kings of Uganda. This was his base of operations. This is where he did warfare from and where he conquered other tribes. And there was a big rock that was his place of encampment. And in that rock, under that rock, was a giant snake. That snake he called Makindi. And it turned out to be a demonic spirit that he prayed to and used the whole time that he was king. And that was his source of power, was this demonic snake spirit called Makindi. And all of a sudden, when we found that out, when we got back to Kampala and found that out, and we were ministering in this little church, it was like, oh, no wonder there's so much oppression over Kampala. No wonder the enemy is so free to operate there. We stood against that and know that others are now going to be able to stand against that. And I'll bet you over the next few years, we're going to see Kampala change. It's going to become a new place, because that spirit of oppression is going to be broken off of it. Well, okay, so I better quit telling stories now. I just want to reiterate how much we appreciate you and your prayers, and how everything that was done was because of you, could not have been done without you and your prayers. We are humbled by that. You just don't understand how it's not just appreciative, we're humbled by knowing that we're part of this body of Christ and that we can do nothing of ourselves, but we've got people like you that love us, that care about us and what God's doing, and care about what the Lord is trying to accomplish. And so you're willing to take out hours of your life. You're willing to take out the substance of your life and spend time in prayer and interceding, so that God can accomplish what he wants to. And then we get to be the instruments of what God's doing. It is exciting, and hopefully sometime some of y'all can come with us. God bless you.